right, let's do this tonight. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12, familiar passage of the Bible. If you're saved, you love the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation tells you what's going to happen in the future. We was going over that Sunday night, we was talking about the Israeli army, how they're preparing. They're preparing for war. They're preparing for something that they don't even really believe, or they know something's going to come down the pike. But if they read their Bibles, they would know that what's going to come and how what's going to happen to Israel. And when Israel rejected Jesus Christ and said, you know, we have no king but Caesar, God have mercy, they put a curse on themselves. And they've suffered ever since then. They've suffered as a nation ever since they've said, we have no king but Caesar. And Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem. Paul went three times and he went to the Jews. Every time he turned around, they were stoning, trying to stone him to death, trying to kill him. And then he appealed to Caesar. Paul appealed because God told him he was going to go and preach before kings and queens and all that stuff. And he did. And when John the Beloved was exiled, and he was I was reading something where they said John was tarred and feathered in one city. And he was tarred and feathered, hot tar. And then they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And, you know, as Christians, here we are in America, we've never really experienced any kind of suffering. We've never had anything. We've never gone through anything. You read in the book of Acts what, you know, they went after Peter to kill him. James, the Lord's brother, they killed. Why? All because of the word of God. And it'll come down to time and the tribulation that the Antichrist is going to go after anybody that believes on the name of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to go after them, and they're going to try to burn all the Bibles like Adolf Hitler did. Adolf Hitler, when he got in power, he burned all the Bibles, got rid of them, and wanted to kill Christians, kill Jews. We haven't seen nothing like that. And I was reading that article about Israel preparing how they got robotic military vehicles now running the border, and they've got all this advanced technology. When they're firing missiles into the land, they have a missile defense system. I forget the name of it. I think they call it David or something like that. They call it something, a biblical name they call it. And Brimby will come to me, but they've got some of the greatest military in all the world, Israel does. But they're not going to have enough ammunition when the kings of the east come against them in Revelation chapter 16. Look over to Revelation 16, hold your place in Revelation 12. They're not going to have enough ammo, enough anything to be able to overcome them. And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and fight for the nation of Israel. And Revelation chapter, look at verse, where is it here? I said 16, yes. Oh, I'm looking for where it says, no, let me back up, maybe that's a little further. I think it's back in chapter, oh well, 9. Here it is, chapter 9. And, oh no, that's not it either. That's not it. What is it?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for about the 200 million men. Chapter 9, verse 16. Here it is, right in front of me. Yeah. I'm looking too fast. Revelation chapter 9, look at verse 15. It says, the fourth angel were loosed, which were prepared for an hour. And we're talking about that hour, Sunday. God's got an hour for everything. I think everything's right on time. God's got a day, an hour, a month, and a year for things to happen. And it's going to happen no matter what. No matter what anybody does in Washington or Germany or Russia or, anywhere in the world. No, makes no difference. It's going to happen. And they're preparing for war. And Israel is preparing to defend themselves. They've been defending themselves. They've been defending themselves for years and years. The only country in the world that's completely surrounded by their enemy, and the enemy wants them wiped off the face of the earth. And one day they're going to attempt it again. They will attempt it again. And here it is, back up to verse 13. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay a third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And that's 200 million men. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and so on. And these things are, it could be tanks, it could be literal horses, where people run out of fuel. And verse 18, it says, By these three was a third part of men killed, by fire, by the smoke, and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tail, almost sound like a tank. And for their tails were like on serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues were yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And you think about this, you think about all the wars and all that stuff going on from the beginning of man, and the first murder in the Bible is Cain kills his brother. It started, man. When sin entered in, it started. Murder, killing, and all that stuff. And it's going to go all the way up to the time, Revelation chapter 19, and then and also goes into chapter 20. And then finally, it's over. Finally, it's over. And the Lord takes care of it. He's the last one that he's going to have the say. And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Go to Revelation chapter 12. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And we know, you know, when Joseph had a dream back in Genesis, this thing goes all the way back to Genesis. And when Joseph had a dream, he dreamed that his father was the sun, his mother was the moon, and his brothers were the 12 stars. And he has this dream, his brothers, and he told the dream, and he said, he tells his brothers and his dad, everybody, they bowed down to him, and they got mad at him. And this thing, go back to Genesis and go look at it. And that's why they wanted to get rid of him. His brothers wanted to get rid of him. Genesis, I think it's verse chapter, got Jacob, comes along, 37. Genesis 37, goes all the way back to Genesis. There's like murder, goes all the way back to Genesis. Look at 37:9. Back up to 8. His brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Look at that. Or shall thou indeed have a dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more of his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he said, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the same. So you get the same thing happening over here. You got the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then you got a child being born. And look at this. There appeared, back to Revelation chapter 12, and Joseph is 151 types of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and we talked about that Sunday, but go to Revelation 12, look there. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and this woman is Israel. And the Catholic Church tries to say this is the Mary. This is Mary. The Protestants, they try to say that this is the church. This is not the church. We're not going to go through the tribulation period. They try to say this is the church, and it's not. The Catholic Church tries to say this is Mary. It's not. The right interpretation is Bible interpretation. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon and under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailed in birth, pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. And we know who that is. The Bible tells you in Revelation, look at verse 17, Revelation 12:17. Look at Revelation 12, 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this dragon goes after him. And you know the devil has an unholy trinity. Go to Revelation chapter 16. Go to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. The devil has an unholy trinity. It says in verse 13, Revelation 16, 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. There's the dragon. Out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So now who do you believe the false prophet is? I believe the false prophet is Rome. I mean, the Pope. I believe it's the Pope himself. Whatever Pope's in power. I think the beast is going to be the Antichrist, which the Bible says in Isaiah 11, calls him the Assyrian. And it's, like I said, all this stuff pops up right now. You got the Assyrian refugees coming to America. He has a mouth that speaks, chapter 16, or actually 13, he has a mouth. We'll go to that in a minute. I believe the Antichrist is going to be part Syrian, part Jewish. He'll be a mix. And then the dragon is Satan himself coming down out of the third heaven because he goes to and fro in the earth and the atmosphere, and he's going to, all three of the unholy trinity is going to enter in. So go to Revelation 13. Go to Revelation 13. Check this out. This is the beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. So he's a multicultural guy, multicolored. And his feet were as the feet of a bear. And that's Russia. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. English, speaking English. And the dragon gave him his power. The dragon gave him his power. That's Satan himself. And his seat and great authority. So this guy, whoever he is, he's the Antichrist, we know that. But he comes and he speaks great things. He's a socialist. And I was teaching this years ago, and we had families coming to church here, and I was saying Obama was a good type, and I had the families get mad and leave the church over because the people were voting for Obama. And I said, he's a good type. He was a type. Because I said, what great thing did Obama do that all the world went crazy over? What great thing did he do? He could talk. He could talk. Take your Bible, look in Daniel, talking about the Antichrist. Daniel. Look in the book of Daniel. The Antichrist is going to be a talker. He's going to be a talker. And a homosexual. Queer. Daniel. Daniel chapter 9, I think it is. Daniel 9. And it's funny. It's not funny, but it's funny how this thing has come out of the closet right now. How this, look at this. Oh, wait a minute. Here we go. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Go to Daniel 7. And this thing is likened to a kingdom as well. It's a kingdom. Rome is the kingdom. It's connected with Rome. And the Vatican, I had a guy, I was just reading the paper, a guy was saying when 1911, 1912, they recognized the Vatican and they called the Pope the king over the Vatican. And there's been so many kings that's been over the Vatican. Has his own army, has everything, and he goes around the world and people bow to him. And kings and presidents bow and kiss his hand. And he believes he's over all the world. This thing, a lot of times we think, if we don't read the Bible, we don't know all this stuff, so it's all going to go away. It's all going to go. No, it's preparing, folks. And the more you know, the better, the more knowledge you have what's coming, you can warn people. Say, this is coming. Even though nobody wants it to come. I want the Lord to come back, but all this is going to happen after he comes, takes his children out of here. But we might have to suffer a little while. There might become some suffering for the church. The church suffered in the beginning. It might suffer in the end. The church has suffered all the way through. except for the 21st century, 20th century. We didn't suffer, not in America anyway. And around the world, there's Christians suffering. But look at verse 23. You think about this. Islam, ISIS, is going into countries where Christians are, and they're killing Catholics too, but they cut their heads off. ISIS is going in and killing them. And any Jew is dead. He said, and it says in verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. So this beast, this Antichrist, is going to be connected with a kingdom. But he ends up using the kingdom, Rome. He'll use it for so long, and finally when he finished using it like a woman, a man using a woman, a prostitute, he throws her away. That's what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to throw Rome away. So what do you mean? Revelation 17, 18. She gets thrown to the curb. Because if she's drinking wine, partying with him, she's with him, and then all of a sudden, he throws her away. And he allows his kings to possess her. He's like passes around. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and it shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise. Now, I've already told you, they've got the thing already marked out. They got America, Canada, and Mexico as one kingdom. They've already got that set up. They've got Japan and different ones, China. They've got it all set up for 10 kings, 10 kingdoms. They've got it set up. And when Trump got in, he's messing everything up. He's messed it all up. Because he's not a globalist. He's a nationalist, supposedly, unless he changes. If Trump changes, I hope he doesn't. But that means you got 4 years. They're so vicious after him right now. Now, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they were not some suicide, or not suicide bombers trying to blow him up wherever he's at. Or somebody try to kill him. Because he's messing up the plan of the dragon. The whole plan. Maybe, like somebody said, God's giving us a retreat or a reprieve for a little while, I mean. And the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise from after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And look what it says. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the times, and dividing of times, 3.5 years. Now, let's go over to Daniel chapter 9. No, 8. Go to 8. And it goes through it again. This thing here is such a, it's set. It's set in stone for an hour, a day, a month, and a year. So when is it? I don't know, but it's coming. Like I said Sunday, if Jesus Christ was crucified 30 A.D., according to calendar, and that would bring 2,000, if God always does things right on the money, 2,000 years, as 1,000 years of one day, and one day is 1,000 years. If it's 2,000, that'd be 2030, but then you got to give 7 years for tribulation period, 4 years for the calendar, because a Jewish day, a year, is 360 days rather than 365, and you figure all that out, and you take off 5 days a year and add that to, for 2,000, man, it could be 2019. Could be sooner. So while I said Bible-believing churches are still preaching that Jesus Christ is coming, where a lot of churches, all they're doing with their folks, they said, and people are gravitating towards all, you know, just how to deal with your problems. Yeah. Coping, how to cope. That's what they're preaching. And people go, wow, I like that. Because they're teaching me how to cope. Well, how are you going to cope if the Lord comes back? Amen. You have your head stuck in the sand, not knowing your Bible? And that's what's happening. That's what's happening to the church. They got their head stuck in the sand, and all they want is a guy that tickles their ears. And they don't want a guy to tell them about hell. They don't want nobody to come to the funeral, preach about hell. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. You need to get saved. They don't want nobody to get up and say, hey, this is what the Bible says is going to happen. Now, it shouldn't depress you knowing that you're saved, knowing where we're going. That shouldn't depress. It doesn't depress me. I'm excited, man. I'm excited the Lord's coming back. Amen. I'm excited the book's right on the money. And what happens is people get, well, I don't want to hear all that bad stuff. I just don't want to hear that because that depresses me. And that shows you immaturity in a child of God's life. Look at Revelation, Daniel chapter 8. Look at verse 23. In the latter times of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, oh boy, here he comes, understanding dark sentences, shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, but he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper and practice and destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, look at this, shall destroy many. You get all these guys around the world, they're signing peace accords. Let's do away with the nukes. Let's do all this. And they can sign all the papers. They ain't going to do it. They're lying through their teeth. Because if you read Revelation, when this world is about annihilated because of something, it's got to be nuclear. It's got to be something that they're firing off. And this man, a third of the ships of the sea and a third of the animal, I mean, a third of mankind, I mean, it just keeps going. And you think, man, that's depressing. Well, we're not going to be here. Like I said, we're saved. We're out of here. Yeah. Thank God. But I don't want to leave nobody behind if I can help it. Amen. I don't want my children and grandchildren to stay behind. You want to know why the battle is to try to keep do right? He's going to wear the saints out. Everybody you talk to, man, I'm so wore out. What happens? We get so wore out with daily living, just trying to make a living. Right. Worrying about this, worry about that. We're just trying to get through. And you get so sidetracked where the Lord says, witness that person over there. Man, Lord, I'm just wore out. So that's what's happening. The devil's good at what he does. He's good. He's really good. And look at verse 25 again. Through his policy, they always say, we're going to make a new policy. Also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace shall destroy many, and he shall also stand up against the prince of princes. Who's that? He's going to stand up against the prince of princes? That's Jesus Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. That's, you know what? When I read this book, I said, man, thank God. Thank God I got saved. Thank God I'm on the right side. Thank God I got Jesus Christ as my big brother watching over me. He's not my Savior, my God. He's protecting me, and I know he's there. And look at verse 26. And the vision of the evening and the morning which was told is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick many days. He says, afterwards I rose and did the king's business. I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. And look over to chapter 9. Chapter 9. Here we go. Chapter 9, Antichrist again. He says in verse 20, Daniel talking, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sins and the sins of the people of Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord and my God for the holy mountain of my God. Here Daniel is, he's not even in Jerusalem. He's in Babylon, and he's praying for the people of God and praying for the city. Praying for Jerusalem. He says, while I was yet was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. If you want skill and understanding, you get it. The Bible says the Holy Ghost will teach you, and you get it in the Word of God. You want skill and understanding. You want to understand what's going to happen, what's going on. You start reading the Word of God, you start praying, and God show me. And the Holy Ghost of God will start teaching. And it's nothing wrong with using other men's knowledge. Like Doc used to say, it's nothing wrong borrowing other men's brains. Doc Rum wrote all these commentaries. We went through Bible school. I can borrow his brains on some of this stuff, compare scripture with scripture and check it out. Not just take for what he said for granted, but compare scripture with scripture. That's what you do. You're supposed to study the Word of God and say, okay, that's what it sounds like. Look at here. Look at verse 23. At the beginning of supplication, the commandment came forth, and tells about the Antichrist. He says, I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make the end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know, therefore, and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. There was a break in there. There's a break of 7 weeks because what happened with, there was a stoppage of the temple being rebuilt, and then it started back. And 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. Afterward, 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, Jesus Christ, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. We know for fact, we know from history, that the people of the prince he's talking about is Rome, comes, destroys the city and the sanctuary. They destroy Jerusalem. Rome destroys it and the sanctuary. The end thereof shall be with a flood. And you read that in Revelation chapter 12. There's going to be a flood trying to drown out the Jews. And on to the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm, check this out. Nobody's ever had a real covenant with the Palestinians, Israel, Iran. You got Iran trying to get nukes. You got North Korea that claims they have nukes. You got all these nuclear powers, and they're all wanting to destroy Israel and America. And when you read your Bible, you don't see much about America other than Revelation 13. The beast coming out, sea. And so something's going to come down. Something's coming down the pike. But look at this. The Antichrist, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. 7 years. But it gets broken half. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sanctuary and oblation to cease. Why? The Jews are excited, saying, this has got to be the Messiah. He's allowed us to rebuild the temple. The temple is going to be rebuilt back on the mount. Something's going to happen with the Mosque of Omar. Something's going to happen with it, or they're going to build it side by side. Now, I just read a report the other day. They said they found that the temple wasn't exactly in the place they're saying it should have been, or that they supposed it was in. Now they're saying it's over a little further over. So it would be room to put another temple up, right, with the Mosque of Omar. So if that's the case, then if the Antichrist is going to be part Arab, part Jew, he'll say, why can't we both just get along? Why can't we just put it together? Wow. He'll confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. See, the Arabs want Jerusalem. The Jews want Jerusalem. The Catholics want Jerusalem. The Protestants want Jerusalem. Everybody wants Jerusalem. You know why? Because Jerusalem is the apple of God's eye. They all want it. And I'm going to tell you something else. You belong to God. You're the apple of God's eye. The devil wants you. Amen. Why? Like Jesus said, I pray for you, Peter, that he wouldn't sift you like wheat. He wants you. So that's why you better be on guard. Amen. You better be on guard.
Yes, sir.
And you better protect this. Put the helmet of salvation on.
Amen.
Because the biggest battle you're going to have is right here. You think sometimes, some Christians think, their battle is with other Christians. No, it ain't. It ain't with your family. It ain't, the biggest battle ain't with your church. It ain't with your brethren. It's right there. It's right there in between your eye or your ears. Like I said, the devil's slick, boy. He's slick. We're going to have to stop. We didn't get very far.